I did see some people who that they were there at the back. You were not introduced then, so we must start by introducing ourselves. I'm Fikile Qhaza, chairperson of the portfolio committee. Whip, can you?
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is I am from the
I'm Thembeka Mchunu, member of the portfolio committee from the ANC.
Others have taken leave. Maybe they will join us as we continue. Otherwise, there are two apologies. Chief, will we?
Sure. Thanks, Chair. I wish to register the apology of Honorable Kanzo and Honorable Tongwani. They attended a meeting that relates to their accommodation. Thanks.
Otherwise, in terms of the program, we are meeting SANB for the first time. There was a broad discussion during the presentation of the department, but formally we have not been able to meet you. So this is that opportunity would allow yourselves to introduce the chairperson of the board, CEO, tell us your team.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Beryl Ferguson. I'm the Chairperson of the Board of SANB, South African National Biodiversity Institute. And with me, I have the delegation from our executive. Chairperson, would you like them just to introduce themselves? Yes, thank you. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. My name is Kwame Lumbizo. I'm the acting CEO for SANB. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson and committee members. My name is Lorato Sithole, and I am the CFO of SANB.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair. My name is Thompson Muchinyalo, acting executive director at SANB, NZG side.
Afternoon. My name is Portia Mpolese. I'm the Director of Governance, Risk, Compliance and Ethics.
Afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Korombi Matibe, Acting DDG for Biodiversity and Conservation within the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I am Dimpo Makotoko, Deputy Director General, Corporate Management Services in the Department and the representative of the Department on the SANB Board.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Bongiseni Sangqu. I'm the Director in the Office of the DG.
From behind.
Good afternoon, I'm Nicholas Leoncinis in Office of the Minister.
Gift Mguni, Parliamentarizing Officer, Office of the Minister.
I'm Candice Chukwana, Office of the Deputy Minister.
I'm Scott Newart, official on this committee.
It's your turn.
I'm Darren Aronson, Committee Assistant from this committee. Afternoon, everyone. I'm Chilega Madubela. I'm the committee secretary. Thanks.
Formally, if there are any apologies from your side, okay.
Chairperson, I'm just pointing out we had two more members of the portfolio committee that came in, and if we can just be introduced to them, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
You want to know who they are, yeah.
Good afternoon. My name is Mpo Tongwane, a member of the portfolio committee.
Good afternoon. My name is Nhabisa Kanjo, a member of the portfolio committee.
Yeah, back to you. What was the question? I was raising a question to say if there are any apologies from your side. No apology. Secretary from our side. No, there are no apologies. It's only members who are here. We walked out. They are saying they are on their way, but will not wait for them. Now, as already indicated, we are a portfolio committee. Our task on behalf of the people of South Africa is to engage the executive on all matters that affect your portfolio in relation to communities. So from our side, any question is a question because it comes from the people. It might not be scientific, but it doesn't mean that it is not a question. We don't eat science. We eat what you produce from wherever you are working. So generally, it's you. This is an opportunity for us to understand what you are doing and the impact of that in the lives of the people of South Africa, the people that we represent. So we do what is called oversight. We're not doing what you are doing. We ask you about what you are doing and how does it impact on the lives of the people. Yes, we are supposed to be custodians of the law that govern what you are doing. And beyond that, then, because the people are not here, we represent them. So would allow you that opportunity first to take us through what is said here to be. You brief us about your annual performance plan, the strategic plan for 2019-20. Then you'd brief also the committee about the fourth quarter. For purposes of compliance, we're not there. And those who were here, they would have seen what SANPARK had to do. We want a summary, and especially on areas where you did not do as expected, so that we can see if there's any follow-up that we'd want to make. So basically, that's that. We'll allow you to present. Minister is not here, so we expect an overview from the chairperson. Then the CEO, whether acting, must take us through. If there's anybody who must come in, you take charge. The CEO must take charge to guide whoever must come after that until you have finished. Then that's when we'll start asking questions. Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Members of the Portfolio Committee, I'm just going to give a brief outline, as this is the first time that we are meeting together with you. First time we're seeing you all as portfolio members. I just want to tell you that we're going to have a short, that's the people that have been introduced, and we can just move on from there. And this is just the presentation outline, the background of SANBI, our legislative policy and mandates, the brief role of SANBI, our mission, our vision and goals, our high-level structure, our programs, our strategic objectives, budget estimates, and our key strategic risks and mitigation plans. So that's just the outline of our presentation going forward. And this is specifically on the annual performance plan of 2019-2020. Thank you. SANBI's vision, biodiversity richness for all South Africans. And I want to also say that it's also just for all peoples as well. Because we have people who are really interested in what we as South Africa offers the world, not just for our own people, but for everybody else. Our mission is to champion the exploration, conservation, sustainable use, appreciation, and enjoyment of South Africa's exceptionally rich biodiversity for all people. And you can see just by our mission that our mandate is pretty diverse. We are governed by the following policies and legal framework, NEMBA, which I'm sure you've all heard about, National Environmental Management Biodiversity Act, which is gazetted, SANBI's role in NEMBA regulations on threatened or protected species, CITES including the National Scientific Authority, and our acting CEO has been appointed as the chairperson of the National Scientific Authority. And that's also gazetted, our obligations into the National Biodiversity Framework, the five-year plan that has been approved from Cabinet with a 20-year vision on our National Biodiversity Strategic Action Plan, and then obligations in Ministers' Delivery Agreements in the Outcomes 10 in the MTSF targets, and then, of course, the Climate Change Response White Paper, SANBI's role in delivering long-term adaptation scenarios for the bio-natural resources designated National Implementing Entity for the Global Adaptation Fund. And we'll talk about that some more. Thank you. Reporting on our delivery of our mandate, our key mandate deliverables are reflected in the five-year corporate strategic plan, the annual performance plan, and the achievements are documented as well in our annual report. Governance protocol agreement with our reports were handed, it was still DEA. We are now DEF, and I know it's a little bit confusing because some of our documentation will still say DEA, but it's because of when it had to be handed into Parliament. But we are now obviously the department DEF. And of course we do the progress reports on our APPs, and that's done quarterly and it's analyzed by DEF. So when we look at SANBI, we look at our pillars, which are our gardens, and we call those our gardens, which are our windows into biodiversity. And of course, the other pillar would be our human capital development, which is extremely important for us. We have our foundation of biodiversity is what that we collect, our taxonomy, our inventory, our maps, and our classification of our ecosystems and species. Building on that, we have a biodiversity knowledge. So we have assessments, status, trends, monitoring, and modeling. And then, of course, we our science into policy, what we're learning, we're putting it into policy. So it's information, planning, and, of course, policy advice, again, models and tools. So what do we influence? That's what we do. So what do we influence? We influence harnessing biodiversity value investment in ecological infrastructure, ecosystem-based adaptation to climate change, again we'll speak about that some more, and streamlined environmental decision-making. But right on top of that, mostly important is the human well-being, improved service delivery and job creation. SANBI's contributions to DEF's outcomes. And if you can see right at the bottom of the slide, that's what we, our contributors are, that goes into the department and then, of course, up to the medium-term strategic framework and then, of course, the national development plan. So we have five, and they are the gardens as windows on biodiversity, the foundations of biodiversity science, building biodiversity knowledge, science into policy and action, human capital development. And if you look at when we looked at the previous slide, those were our building blocks. We now have the new seven government priorities, and SANBI has assessed its contribution, and we can share that information if need be. Finally, I just want to say that when you look at where we fit in and how we fit in, the SANBI programs fits into the DR outcomes, into the MTSF, into the National Development Plan, into international agreements, and finally, the Sustainable Development Goals. So that is sort of a high level where we are, who we are, and what we do. So I'm going to hand over just finally also our high-level organizational structure. We have our directors, chief directors, reporting into heads of branches, into the chief executive officer, obviously to the board, and finally to the minister. So having said that, I'd like to hand over to our CEO to take us further. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, broadly, our strategic goal is that we contribute to South Africa's sustainable development by facilitating access to biodiversity data, generating information and knowledge, building capacity, providing policy advice, showcasing and conserving biodiversity in our national botanical gardens and our National Zoological Zoo. Thanks. We do this through our seven programs, and I'm just briefly going to list these for you, and then I'm going to take you through the strategic objectives for each of those programs. So our first program is around our administration, our corporate services, and we aim to render effective and efficient corporate services. Secondly, to manage and unlock the benefits of our network of national botanical gardens, and this includes our National Zoological Garden, as windows in South Africa's biodiversity, develop foundational biodiversity information, and we do this through describing and classifying species and ecosystems. And then another very important area is around assessing, monitoring, and reporting on the state of South Africa's biodiversity and increasing knowledge for decision making. We provide biodiversity policy advice and access to biodiversity information, and by doing so, we support climate resilience. And we're very much aware that we can't do this without people, so a very important objective and program that cuts across everything that we do is around our human capital development, education, and awareness in response to our mandate. And then lastly, with the transfer of the National Zoological Garden, we manage and unlock the biodiversity conservation contributions and benefits of the National Zoo. So, Chair, I'll quickly take you through what are the strategic objectives for each of those programs and then touch on the annual target and the five-year target. And you'll see that in most cases where it's appropriate, it's a cumulative target, a five-year target. So in terms of us wanting to position ourselves as the employer of choice in the biodiversity sector, we have a number of performance indicators. And the first one is around percentage of payroll allocated and spent on staff development. And we have a minimum of 1% of payroll allocated and spent on staff development. In terms of transformation and our equity targets, We have an indicator on percentage compliance to the employment equity targets. And as you can see, this is around our female staff in full-time employment. Our target is 47%, and going forward, we hope to achieve by the end of the fifth year 50% female staff in full-time employment. And then in terms of top and senior management, we aim to have 50% female staff. In terms of our black staff, 90% black staff in full-time employment. And then we have a target on people with disabilities, which is set at 2%. We have an objective around implementing an effective, efficient, and transparent supply chain and a financial management system as regulated by the PFMA. And our target for this year is an unqualified external audit opinion, and that's going forward to our five-year target. And then we have quite a stretching performance indicator, which is around increasing our own income. And this is quite a critical one for us in terms of our financial sustainability and the fact that our MTF allocation is not sufficient for us to deliver on our mandate. So we are pushing for 4% year-on-year increase on own income generated, and we have a cumulative five-year target on a 15% increase in income generated. We also want to have an effective corporate service that is rendered to help us achieve our mandate. And in terms of ICT, we plan to have 90% of ICT uptime for both our internal and external customers. In terms of risk management, our annual target is 100% of risk action plans, mitigation plans implemented. And then in terms of compliance, our aim is to have 100% compliance as per the compliance schedule. Chair, very important to us to help to achieve our income generation and to communicate what we do is our marketing and brand communication platforms. And you'll see that initially we counted every single marketing activity. So we had 44 marketing activities. And we've moved away from trying to have a shopping list of activities to look at marketing platforms. So our target is 20 marketing platforms. And then in terms of our advertising, our RAND value of advertising value equivalent, we have an annual target of 35 million, and this is increasing to our five-year target of 60 million. We have a new target, Chair, which is around our stakeholder satisfaction, and that's why you see no baseline there, but we plan to have an overall stakeholder satisfaction rating of 55% and to increase this over the 5 years to 60%. And Chair, moving on to our next program, which is around our National Botanical Gardens. Our key objective here is a network of National Botanical Gardens that are managed and maintained in order to realize benefits to SAMBI, civil society, and other relevant stakeholders. And our target is around indigenous plant species added to our living collections and also to the Millennium Seed Bank Partnership, which is a global partnership around collections of indigenous seeds. And our annual target is 20 indigenous plant species added to the living collections. And this is for our combined network of National Botanical Gardens and our contribution to the Global Millennium Seed Bank Partnership. Chair, in terms of our garden expansion strategy, we have an indicator on number of new national botanical gardens established and operational, and we have two targets around our two newest gardens, our Toyando Garden and our Kwelecha Garden. Our Toyando Garden is in Limpopo and Kwelecha is in Eastern Cape. And our annual target is around infrastructure development for the garden. And this is a basic assessment report that needs to be compiled and planned for our infrastructural developments in the Toyando Garden. And by the end of the 5 years, we hope to have had that landscape design implemented for the cultivated portion of our Toyando Botanical Garden. And in terms of our Kwelecha Garden, a planned boundary fence for the 10-hectare portion of the garden needs to be completed, and then we have a 5-year target that the whole landscape design will be implemented for that part of the garden. Also, in terms of our National Botanical Gardens, we have a performance indicator around maintenance, development, and capital infrastructure projects, and our annual target is 44 maintenance/development projects and 2 SAMBI capital infrastructure projects completed. And we have a cumulative target, 5-year target, for 225 maintenance projects and 10 capital infrastructure projects completed. Chair, like Sand Parks, we also have a target around our visitor numbers. We were encouraged by our board to increase this target, given that it is such an important target in terms of our income generation and financial sustainability strategy. So our annual target is a minimum of 5% annual increase in visitor numbers. I'm now going to move away from Program 2 to Program 3, and this is about building the foundational biodiversity science. And I will quickly take you through those performance indicators. The number of plant and animal species for which description and classification information has been compiled, and you can see there that we've set a stretching target for ourselves around information on 3,200 South African species compiled, and yeah, we're looking at both animal and plant species. And by the end of our 5-year target, we hope to be able to launch an e-flora information system that basically captures all the species descriptions. We plan to have a number of version releases for both our ecosystem classifications and maps. And for this year, we have one version release for an ecosystem classification and map. You'll note that in terms of our baseline, we had produced 4 ecosystem classification and maps released, and this was in terms of our National Biodiversity Assessment, which we will be launching this year, which stretches over 5 years of work in looking at the state of our biodiversity. We also have a very specific target around our biodiversity records, and we plan to have 56,000 biodiversity records added to our database. So moving on from our foundational biodiversity information, our program around biodiversity assessment and knowledge generation, a very key target for us, an indicator on our knowledge generation, is our target around publications, and our annual target is to have 85 papers published in accredited journals, so peer-reviewed journals, and our Our five-year target is 425 papers published. Also, in terms of our work around invasive species, our target is to have 45 invasive species project plans submitted. And we also do risk analysis in terms of our invasive species. And this is also a new indicator, like the indicator on invasive species project plans. We have an indicator around risk analysis for invasive species, which is one of the major threats to biodiversity. So 70 risk analysis for invasive species. And a key component of our research work is to work through our partners and networks, and we have planned to have two cooperative research networks around marine and the biodiversity economy in this current financial year. In terms of national biodiversity synthesis or assessments produced, our plan is to have one assessment completed and a report compiled on our genetically modified organisms, and to increase this to five in terms of our corporate strategic plan. In terms of number of annual updates of species to support NEMBA regulations, we will have one update on non-detrimental findings for the scientific authority. Chair, moving on to our next program, which is around our policy support and information management. And this is a performance indicator around developing tools and knowledge resources to support mainstreaming of biodiversity assets and ecological infrastructure in our production sectors and natural resource management. And we plan to have two decision support tools developed and three knowledge resources, which will help with working together with our provinces and at national level and with other sectors to support biodiversity mainstreaming. A key component of our work is around coordination and learning, documenting lessons learned and good practices and sharing those at national and local government level. And we have an annual target of four learning or coordination events convened for provincial, municipal or other relevant decision makers. We plan to have four training sessions convened in this area, and two coordination mechanisms convened in collaboration with DEF to support the implementation of the ecosystem-based adaptation strategy. So working closely with our department in this area. Chair, in terms of our biodiversity information management and making sure that we collect, document, and make that information available, our indicator around publishing our biodiversity records is a very important indicator, and we have a target of 59,400 biodiversity data records published, and a five-year target that is a stretching five-year target. A key area of work is around our policy advice to both our department and to other organs of state, and also providing policy support and advice at an international level. And we have a target on how responsive we are in terms of requests for policy advice, which is around 100% of relevant written requests from our department and other organs of state responded to within the time frame stipulated. And if you look at the baseline, you can see a number of examples of where we've provided policy support and advice. In terms of our work around adaptation and climate change, we have a performance indicator around number and value of adaptation fund and green climate fund projects approved for implementation. And this is around SAMBI's role as an accredited entity for both the green climate fund and the adaptation fund. These are global funds. And Chair, we have some additional information that we'd like to share with the committee on exactly what these funds do, what their focus is, and what are the main objectives of these funds that we'd like to share with the committee. Our annual target is 2 first stage proposals with a total value of at least $20 million US dollars submitted to the GC, the Global Climate Fund, for consideration. And by the end of the 5 years, we hope to have had 3 of these projects with the value of at least $30 million US dollars approved for implementation. And Chair, this is unpacked quite nicely in the information that we'd like to share with you. Chair, our second to last program is a very important program for us, like I said earlier on. It's around our role in terms of human capital development, and we specifically focus on the youth in our various skills development programs. We also try and ensure that in everything that we do, in all the projects that we implement, our human capital development is a thread that runs right through what we do. So whether it be a research project or a project in our gardens, we are seeking opportunities to bring our youth in and to give them opportunities for skills development. In terms of our indicator around human capital development interventions for our Black biodiversity professionals, we host a number of different initiatives. Work integrated learning, this year we aim to have 24 student placements. We focus a lot on our internship programs, and this year we will have 72 interns and Kroonsebenzer Pioneers. Our Kroonsebenzer Pioneers is based on a big program that we ran together with our partners, both government and NGOs, where we were able to get funding from the National Jobs Fund. And together with our partners, we hosted over 800 young pioneers in a skills development program to basically get our youth, our young professionals ready, to give them experience so that they were able to apply for jobs, permanent jobs. And we're continuing with this through some funding that we get in through our department. We're continuing with the Kroonsebenzer Pioneers. We also do a lot with our students. We have 19 honors, masters, and doctoral degrees that will be completed in this year, and also 25 postgraduate student bursaries that will be awarded. And we try to have quite a stretching target in terms of the 5 years, our next 5 years. Also, in terms of trying to excite our young people to come into the biodiversity sector, to take up careers on biodiversity, we work very closely with our universities around a career development program where we engage with them and make information available about potential biodiversity careers, what they're all about, and how they contribute to development. Chair, we also have a program around bringing children into our gardens. This has been going on for a number of years, and we've constantly tried to have a stretching target on this. Our aim is to have 56,000 beneficiaries participating in our Kids in Garden program. And yeah, we try to bring in children who wouldn't normally have the opportunity to visit our National Botanical Gardens. So we work closely with the schools, and we're constantly trying to reach out that, to schools that haven't participated in this program. So it's a big part of this program. In terms of monitoring our biodiversity and getting our ordinary citizens excited about biodiversity, we have a citizen science program. This has been running for many, many years, and we benefit a lot from the information that is collected through our citizens, ordinary citizens, going out and collecting biodiversity information, whether it's on plants or it's on birds. We're trying to expand this program because it's been focused very much on retired nature lovers. It hasn't been very diverse, and we want to now focus on programs for our rural youth. So going forward, we're focusing on trying to design programs that can bring them into our citizen science program. Chair, the last program is the work that's done through our National Zoological Gardens. The Portfolio Committee is probably aware that the National Zoo was transferred to Sandby over a year ago, and we are integrating the work of NZG into Sandby. And like Sandby, NZG has got a research program, and they also contribute in terms of producing research papers. So we have a target for 30 research papers, also peer-reviewed, by, through accredited through our Department of Higher Education. We also have a target for visitors to the zoo, 454 general visitors to the zoo, and by the fifth year, we hope to have increased that for the year up to 476,000 in the fifth year. Also in line with working with young people and working with the schools, our zoo has a target around 160,000 learners reached through visits to the zoo, so education and awareness around our animals in the zoo. And then we have a target around number of stud books published, and our target is to have 5 stud books published, and these stud books provide the demographic history of the animals, and this helps to ensure that there's sufficient population size and genetic diversity. Chair, that's our 7 programs. Thank you very much. I'm now going to hand over to our CFO to take us through the budget estimates overview. Thank you.
Thank you, CE. The financial plan for the current financial year 1920. In total, we have a plan to receive income of 803 million, and it will be coming from 4 main streams. 52% of it will be coming from government as a grant, that is 423 million. And we also receive another grant from government in the form of a capital infrastructure grant, 9%. and we run externally funded projects from which we are expecting to receive 15%, 119 million. That is inclusive of programs such as the Green Climate Fund and the Global Environmental Facility. The last source of income is our own internally generated income, which we generate mainly through the fees that we receive from admissions into our various campuses. We are in 14 sites, and we also rent out our premises to restaurants, which they pay us a monthly rental fee, and we also hire out venues. From that, we are expecting to receive 24% of our revenue, giving us a total of 803 million. Being a Schedule 3A entity, we then spent the full amount, leaving us with no surplus or deficit budgeted for the financial year. Overall, for spending allocations, we have estimated that we will be spending 52% of our income on employees, which is fully funded by MTF. The full 9% income that we receive on infrastructure will go towards spending on that to make sure that there is constant maintenance of all the gardens and all the facilities, and where possible in the zoological gardens, incorporate new introductions and attractions for visitors. We have also allocated a full 119 million, 15% towards the implementation of the externally funded projects. And lastly, we will be spending 196 million on operational expenditure, 24%, which is mainly funded through the revenue streams that we run across the gardens. Overall, on employee costs, we spend 84% of all our employee costs on our core operations. 33% goes to the National Botanical Gardens. The Zoological Gardens, we spend 27%. Both these facilities are quite human intensive, and 24% goes towards research policy and knowledge management. It's very technical and it requires the necessary capacity to do so. 15% of our employee costs goes towards administration, and lastly 1%, it remains in group, but it is spent across the entire organization on issues relating to performance bonuses, which is kept to 1.5% as a maximum, notch increases, career ladder, and so on. Operating expenditure, once again, we spend quite a high percentage towards core operations. 79% goes towards our core functions, 30% to zoological gardens, 12% to botanical gardens, research policy and knowledge management, 35%, and administration, 16%. The 7% allocated to group mainly goes towards those areas where it runs across the organization, such as insurance matters, audit expenses, issues around sustainable transformation as well. The overall spending, if one is to have a total overview of how we are spending, in totality, 82% goes towards core operations, zoological gardens being 23%, policy, research and knowledge management 35%, and botanical gardens 24%. leaving 18% between administration and group functions. Thank you, Chair.
Is that all?
Chair, for information, we did include our strategic risks and mitigation plan. And basically what we've done there is to just break that down in terms of each of the strategic objectives. That was really just in case there was interest in how we're managing the risks. But Chair, we also have enterprise-wide risks that cut across that have been approved by our board. I don't know if you would like me to go through the plan, Chair.
I depend on the members. With that, enough, or you want them to go through this management of risks? Okay, looks like nobody is keen. Maybe then let's get to the summary of the fourth quarter in areas where there might have been some deviation.
Thank you, Chair. We finished off the year with 95% targets achieved. This was a good year for us, Chair. It was an improvement of the previous year, where we were 82% in 17-18, and we improved with the 95%. So, Chair, the result is that we had four targets, which I will quickly take you through, that were either partially achieved or not achieved. Thanks. So, Chair, the first target that we did not achieve was our target in terms of our unqualified AFS produced to comply with PFMA and GRAP requirements. We didn't achieve this.
Excuse me, Chairperson. Can the presenters guide us on the document, because now we end up trying to page and check for which document is it. Thank you.
It's the annual performance plan, 2018-2019, the fourth quarter and annual achievement. So it's a second document. You would have gotten two documents from us. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Are you able to see the document? Then we can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, so I will quickly go through the four targets that were not achieved. And the first one that we didn't achieve is around our audit. And we did not achieve this, and we are due to receive a qualified audit opinion. We're waiting to get that from AG. Our next target, Chair, that we didn't achieve was around it was around our kids in the garden, Chair. Unfortunately, we didn't make it. we got quite close to it. Our target was 13,355, and we achieved 13,500. Am I getting it wrong? Sorry. The target was for 13,500, and we achieved 13,355. We had some challenges in terms of a number of schools cancelled due to a much shorter quarter in the school calendar. But Chair, we have actually upped this target. We've increased this target because we are confident that we can actually meet our new stretching target. And it was really just through those circumstances that we didn't achieve that target. Our next, the third one that we didn't achieve.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's after lunch, but the official days. The presentation, because when she presents, it must go with what is on the board, at least for us to follow on our notes, but it's going up and down. I don't know what is happening really. Can that be corrected so that we can follow it and we are able to...
Our apologies, honourable members. When it was printed, for some reason, some of the page numbers fell off, not all of them. So our CEO is going to the where we have fallen short on deliverable, where we didn't quite make target, and our official is trying to find it because the page number isn't there. We're not sure what happened with it in the IT. Just some of it is there, some of it just has dropped off. And so we will be also struggling a little bit just to make sure we're at the same place. Yeah, yeah, the red or the yellow. Let's look at that. Sorry, we do apologize, but it's an IT problem that we picked up this morning. Thank you.
I suspect because she said about four. So I know that you are able to count to a million. So you can't have problems counting four. Let's try and... if possible, guide us where you are talking to. At least four, we should be able to deal with that.
Sorry, honourable members, for that confusion and for moving around. I will focus on what's on the screen right now, which is the third one, and then I'm sorry, I'm going to take you back to the last one. This target is around our visitors to our National Zoological Gardens, and as you can see, we didn't achieve this target. Instead of 432,000 visitors, we only had 3,336,664 visitors. We had a number of challenges around meeting this target. These relate to security issues that we have, safety concerns in terms of our zoo, economic pressures in terms of just nationally, and the location of our garden in our zoo in Pretoria. Is also, it doesn't make it very accessible for people to come and visit the zoo. It's right in the city centre. So difficult to access it, difficult to park. We've had mug-ins, for example. But in terms of corrective measures, we have a whole program in place to try and address this. One big initiative is around moving the entrance to the zoo so that people enter from the back part, so they don't have to go through the center of the town. This is quite a big infrastructure project for us, and we working with our department to try and raise funding for that to happen. We also have a number of new initiatives to try and attract people into the zoo that we're working on. We've got a new program of initiatives. And more generally, in terms of some of the aging infrastructure in the zoo, we've got a capital investment program around putting in new infrastructure. Thank you, Chair. And then if I could please go to the last fourth target, which we didn't achieve. I'm sorry to take you back. Thank you, Chair. This last target is around our National Botanical Gardens, our new garden, our Toyandoa Garden, where basically we had a number of improvements and upgrading that needed to be done. And unfortunately, we weren't able to achieve that full target. We were behind schedule in terms of improvement and upgrading of existing buildings in the botanical garden, and our delays were more around the procurement process, but we've moved ahead and we've got work that is being undertaken now in this financial year. Thank you, Chair. Those are the four targets that we didn't achieve.
Ten, we must have listed our questions, comments, and on both the APP and the fourth quarter. Number one. Two, okay, three, four. Those who want tea, they might just be going out one after the other, but let's proceed and continue. Number one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask, with regard to the National Zoological Garden in Pretoria, has there been any research into how effective the educational objectives are in terms of conscientizing people to biodiversity in our country, especially when it comes to learners, and that may this not be more effectively achieved in a more naturally set environment, so for instance, visiting our national parks, and whether there's any research that's been conducted into that. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, my question, the first one is on the qualification that according to, I think it's page 7, where it's indicated that I've got a qualified annual financial statements. What's the reason? What's the cause of that? If one can get that, why? And I wanted also to know, in terms of page 8 on the administration program 1, it says you're moving from marketing to brand communication platforms. What's the difference? Just for knowledge. On page 9, where you talk about those botanic gardens, and do we have a research report on indigenous plant species, the complete research? Or on page 10, I looked at that program too, Botanic Gardens, which gives you the baseline, which is 45 maintenance and development, and the annual target is 45. And then you get the 5-year target, but then the baseline and the baseline is 45, and our target again is 45. Why do we have it like that? Is it based on the budget or whatever? And then let me move to also I think the same question I've asked is there on page 17, that you have your baseline, which is 31 research papers on the research, and then the annual target is 30, and the 5-year target is 30. If I can be clarified on that one, I'll be able to understand better. Now, coming to also your budget that has just been presented, my question on the expenditure, infrastructure, on the aging infrastructure in the zoos, but in the budget, I don't see us budgeting for depreciation. How do we finance those aging infrastructure? And do we have an asset register that talks to that? And how do we balance that with the maintenance that we're supposed to be doing when we are now presenting the budget in total? So I thought I'd see that in our budget. And something was said on money spent on employees. I thought maybe I missed something. What is the total number of employees that we have, so that we then say this is the percentage of the employees that we have in total as SANBI, and then we say this is how much we spent on the employees. And and another question is that I'm not sure of is, are we not guided as the entities by Treasury? How much can we spend on employees? I mean, the ratio, which ratio? If we have that guide, where are we in terms of that guide? If you are presenting that amount spent on employees. Yeah, and the female targets, the target of having more females. I wish to stress also that one again in this for you, that no, we have to achieve it, and we need a plan that says how are we going to make sure that we reach that 50-50, and do we have a plan of enticing the youth, the females in the youth category to be interested in this field, so that we can say that, and that and those youth can, is it, do we have a plan of also ensuring that the previously disadvantaged youth do get those opportunities and they are assisted? And I'm sure if you can answer that with that with those intents, so that we can see if we are getting there or not. Thank you.
Is it not number four?
Number three.
Oh, but it has to be me anyway. Mm-hmm. Chair, thanks. You know, we met Sandpark earlier on today. When they made a presentation, they spoke about high level. Now, in SANBI, again, we're at high level. The next entity will come, it will also speak about high level. But the point is, by the time we leave here, if it would still be sober, it would be madness. If you look at all of this, and we have some of us interface with this for the first time today. Quite frankly, it's not fair. Chair, I'm raising this because there must be an appreciation that we are relatively new as a portfolio committee. Now, when you say high level, systematically and politically, you mean this is a summary. Or, in your own terms, it might be meaning that you did not want to go in details, etc., etc. But Chair, I wish to premise my input from a very problematic point of view. It is not my desire to be controversial. But everybody seems to be acting in Sanbio. What is this Hollywood? Everybody is acting. Ms. Beryl Figgerson, Sanbi board member, fair. Kamel, acting. Lorato, acting. Thompson, acting. Why is T1G? Not. Well, it's written here. Annual Performance Plan 2019. No. Oh, yes. Lorato is chief. She's not acting. Fine. Well, that's the only one. But everybody is acting. I'm just saying, ordinarily, we must be taken up to speed on why is everybody acting. because we might be required to explain what is this Hollywood arrangement. I think that is where we must start. But quickly, Chair, they also on high-level organizational structure, I think it's page 5, the Minister of Environmental Affairs, I think we're fine with that. We have interfaced with the Minister and have spoken to her about the department. Sanbi Port, who is this one person? Who is there? I thought the high-level organizational structure would unpack to us so that at the time when we leave from here, we know who's Sanbi Port. What is their term of office, for instance? Are they permanent? It's highly possible with these things. 5 years, and so on. We must have a finer detail. Chief Executive Office, is that one who's acting, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And then Executive Committee is head of branch. Is it one branch? How many branches do we have of Sanbi? And so on. If we can get an organogram so that when we speak about Sanbi, we know exactly what we're talking about. But I think Honorable Mkunu spoke at length about the total number of people that we are employing, the demographics, etc., etc., how many whites, how many blacks, females, and so on. That information can be very helpful to us so that we don't get this information at high level like it's being presented and we live here at high level. Now, on page 17, on National Zoological Gardens, on those performance indicators there, the number of research papers published in journals accredited by the Department of Higher Education, 31 research papers, baseline 2017 and 16 and 17, 19 and 20, 30. So it reduces with one. 5 year target, 30. Just when we have just approved the budget. 5 years, reduction. To me, there's a problem there. And 7.2, the number of learners reached through visits by the National Zoological Gardens. 160,000, 2016-2017 financial year. Annual target, 2019 and 20, 160,000. In the next 5 years, it will still be the same. It defies logic. Just when we have just approved so much zag. But I am more concerned about the marketing strategy on how are we going to increase these performance indicators, those that are going to be increased. I'm not worried about those ones that are going down because I wouldn't agree that they must go down anyway. But those ones that are going up, what is in place? What are the mitigating factors that we're putting in place or deploying to ensure that we increase these particular performance indicators? Thank you very much.
Number 4.
Thank you for the nice presentation. I think
I've been an official for quite some time, and I know official when they say high profile presentation, and they don't want to give you everything they say high profile, because we need to understand in order for us to assist you. But next time, please, let's not have the high profile, because so that we can assist you. In short, there are targets that you haven't achieved them. I don't know for how long, because I believe that once you don't, you can't achieve your target. You must remove it. Because remember, the MTSF, you are being monitored by the Department of the Treasure, National Treasure. So if you can't achieve it and it's always there, and there's no, because in some of those, there's no areas where corrective areas. In others you have put yes, others you didn't put anything. So look at it that you remove those targets that you can achieve, because it makes you a failure, yet you are not failures. I don't believe that. I see beautiful women that can be failures. I don't see that way. And the other thing is that in your program 8, page program 1, admin 1.4, you're talking about 100% annual target. That means that target, you have overachieved it. So those are the small and other things that you need to look at and correct it, because once this one is achieved, it's 100%. You are now achieving 100%. That means you have overachieved it. Just look at that. Maybe I might not understand it the way you understand it. And then page 20, program 2, where you increase the number of visitors, is very good, because it's where you generate your revenue. But what do you have the safety plan of those visitors? Because according to the OHS Act, once there's any injury within your premises, you take the responsibility. So please look at that also. Your environmental and safety, occupational health and safety plan. And it goes back to say, I don't know in your structure, because I don't see anyone. Maybe if you give us a proper structure, because you must have somebody that is dealing with your OHS within your facilities, otherwise you are going to be in a serious problem. So maybe you have, but you didn't put... you didn't give us an organogram so that we understand. And again, remember I asked the other questions in the previous one. It's also the same. The role of the traditional health practitioners with the zoo on the issues. Remember there are things that they will need there within the zoo. So that you don't find that the people who are working, the employees who are working within the zoo, they steal this in order to sell to them. But you have them, you have access of the traditional health practitioners in order for them to gain access. I know they use, the elephant, elephant dung. Is it dung? Yeah, and they use ulona, the urine of the monkey, and so forth, and other things that you can get in the zoo. So you need to have that relationship with them, and I think by doing that, you'll also have more people coming to you, and some of these things you can sell it to them, and you generate you increase your revenue generation. Again, the issue of waste management. How do you deal with that in the zoo? Unless you call me and I come and do that and I take it and I see how I make money, because it's a resource. I did ask last time, but there was no answer. It was just said, it wasn't answered on it. Waste is a resource, and that's where you can generate your revenue. Unless you just pack everything mixed to the waste management from the local municipality, which take everything to the landfill site. I've got a problem because we are running short of landfill site, and once it goes there and piles there, there are things that they don't. They will stay in that landfill site for years, like plastics and so others. But there are those that are being recycled. There are companies that already, like these bottles, there are companies that take them back and recycle them. There are companies that take some clothes and recycle them. They, I know Nike also is recycling their clothes and all the outfits that they are selling to the people, and they recycle it, and it goes back to the shelf, and you buy it. I think those are the things we need to look at them, because there's lot of waste from water up to all type of waste there. I saw you talking about the ICT and this e-waste management also, which is a high one of the priorities from the Department of Environmental Affairs. So you need to look at all those things, how to deal with those things. Also the issue of conservation of natural resources within your zoos, and also how do you deal with the air pollution control? Because automatically there will be air pollution control. But I know in most cases they focus on the private sector, they focus on the municipality where they monitor. But do you have something? If not, maybe just check if there's there anything that, because you are working with the Department of Environmental Affairs, that takes you to non-compliance to any of their policies. But let me just say, I've seen that some of you have the journals that you have, but how do we access them? I'm one of the researchers. I want to know how do we access them so that we can read them and make some references, or just to empower us, sharpen our skills while we are in this portfolio committee. But your work is very good, and thank you very much.
I think we, but because I'm also paid as a member, I should ask a question, just one. In fact, it's not a question, more than a concern. You said, you'd have a number of new NBGs established and operational. So you have accepted that in Toy, and oh, you could not achieve that. Now with us, we'd be very happy when we go to Limpopo to visit that. I come from the Eastern Cape, I'll visit Kwelech. So that's what members do. Now, you just mentioned that the delay was caused by procurement, which is a general problem, especially for those who are not elected, like us. So I'm trying to check what is causing the delay. You approve and you expect people to implement. There's failure. If we can understand it here, there are people who will not understand, who are not here. Those are the people we represent. So we expect action so that we send messages that are very clear to people when we make a commitment. In fact, it's not you who make commitments, it's us. If not achieved, there should be consequences. But in your case, well, I don't know what happened. I just wanted to add that the question, I don't want to say difficult, it's exactly at the center of what is called oversight. Thank you very much. Then you can respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, members, for your questions. I'd just like to say to the members that, no disrespect, we appreciate that you are new portfolio members, and you're getting a lot of information from everybody. We try to think about what is the best information to give, how should we give the information that's it's understandable and in bite sizes. But going forward, thank you for the comment. Going forward, we certainly will revisit how we give it, what we give. And even if we don't, because we don't want to overload you with too much paper and things, but even if we don't, we can direct you and say, here is a document, in your case, what research. It is on our website. The site is there. This is where you can find it. So it makes it easier for everybody. But we do appreciate that a lot of you are new on this portfolio. And it was a bit of almost a dance with us. What do we give and what don't we give? Is it too much information? Is it too little? But we do appreciate all the comments, and thank you so much for that. I'm going to answer two or three questions, but the first response, I think, that will clear the air, I just have to ask Dimpo just to deal with the question of the board and the term of office, if you don't mind, and then I'll pick it up again. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the matter of the board, in line with, I think Chair indicated earlier on that we're governed by National Biodiversity Act number, in line with Section 14 of that, the board should consist of minimum of seven members and a maximum of nine members. The nine is including a representative from the department as well as the CEO of the entity. Currently, we have had resignations on the board. The term of this current board started on the 1st of October 2018. They are appointed for a period of 3 years, which means their term ends on the 30th of September 2021, just to deal with the term of the board. So that's how long the board will be there for. We currently, as I've indicated, have had three resignations on the board. Just on demographics, there are four females currently on the board and three gentlemen on the board. We are in the process of filling the vacancies. The adverts Minister has already published on the vacancies that arose as a result of these resignations. Thank you.
Thanks, Dimpo, for the clarity. Is there any other questions on clarity, particularly on the board, or not? Demographic? No?
No, you must just respond to...
I'm just going to, again, just like I said, just touch on two or three of the questions that were asked. One of the questions that were asked was about research and just how effective bringing particularly young people and young children into the zoo particularly, or is it a better idea to take them into the natural environment? And there's been a lot of conversation, in fact worldwide, on whether zoos still have a place in our communities. In our case, in most of the kids, particularly living around the zoo, that's the only time that they may be able to interact and see any kind of animal. It's a wonderful idea to say, let's take all the kids into Kruger Park or wherever else, but we know it's not always going to be possible. So while we still have that challenge, I think the zoo still has its place. But we are having the conversations about whether we should change that. But for the time being, our kids living in the cities, the only time they may see a real live lion is if they go to the zoo. And we are opening the spaces constantly in our gardens, our zoological gardens, our botanical gardens, for our people, particularly our young children, from the townships that often don't get to these places, and we need to open those spaces. So to answer your question, there are conversations going around whether zoos still have a place, but in our context right now, it is what works for us, and to let our kids engage with that, and we educate them on whether it's the flora or the animals. Okay. You want to do a follow-up question?
Sorry, if you don't mind. So I don't really want to base it on...
I'm in charge now. I'm in charge now.
Che, can I have a small follow-up quick?
I'm sure you can.
Thank you very much. So, yes, I want to know, I don't think it's wise to talk in terms of hearsay or opinion. You know, we talk about scientific inquiry, we talk about backing up opinion and report with research. So my question is, as SANB, are we doing the necessary research into whether or not we're still achieving the educational outcomes that form as part of the premise or base for the justification of zoos? It's not what I think or you think. I want to know what the science and the research says about it, and whether or not we cannot, I don't know, launch some sort of research into that.
I can respond to that by saying, yes, we are looking at that. And this is not a cop-out, but the National Zoological Gardens has only really just become part of SANB. In fact, one of the questions I'm going to be just touching on is the organogram. So they've been with us for a year. We're integrating. We're finding out what research they're doing, what research we're doing, how are things impacting, and particularly the question that you're asking. Because it is, as I'm saying again, it's an international inquiry that we ourselves have picked up. So thank you so much for that. I hope that answers your question more broadly. Just in terms of the Hollywood status, I appreciate the question, but I want to just clarify. I have next to me the acting CEO. Our previous CEO's term ended on past Saturday, the 18th. Or not her term, but she had resigned and finished off on Saturday, but resigned with a very short period of time. So we have acting. In the next month, we will be putting our advert out, and we will go through a process of advertising, interviewing, and so forth. And we hope that process will be concluded within 6 months. But that's the acting. Then we have another acting gentleman there that's on the... our acting gentleman, Thompson, actually comes from our Sandby's table, but we needed somebody to oversee the National Zoological Gardens, and so we moved him the beginning of August, we moved him to hold the fort. We have advertised. We are in the process of concluding on that matter. Portia, she's acting, but she's holding her own position as a director, and she's acting on the sort of the COO position. Our previous CEO had gone on early retirement. He wasn't well, and he would have retired only at the end of the year, but he asked if he could be released earlier. So our acting status is not one of us not filling our positions. It's circumstance that has brought us here very quickly. But I will assure the portfolio committee we are addressing it as quickly, because we don't want to be in this situation. It's unsettling, and we really don't want to be in this position. So just to answer, I hope that answers your question on the acting. And there was one more. You asked us about where do people do? Do we have somebody like an OHS? What does our organogram say? Again, in fact, the board approved the new organogram in the last board meeting on the... What date was it? 15th of August. A new organogram that incorporates SANB, NZG, because remember when the NZG came in, they had their own HR people or own finance people. So we have to incorporate that, but it's taken about a year for us to start becoming seamless. And so we've just approved it, and what I will ask our management and our executive to do is to pass that organogram to you people, and then when, as it is more populated, we give it to the portfolio committee, and then you can have a real assessment, or not necessarily assessment, but a real view of where we are. But we've just approved it on the 15th of August. I hope that answers some of the questions, and then I'll hand over to the team to answer the questions on the various aspects of the organization. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I will start with a question around the baseline on infrastructure, where we have 45 that was achieved in previous years, and the current year we are still having a target of 45. It's guided mainly by the number of the gardens that we are having, and we do take into consideration the budget for the financial year. So in essence, in every financial year, we to make sure that our infrastructure doesn't fail behind, we put a target that there must be at least 5 improvements that are done on each garden, and we leave 2 for the corporate areas. On NZG, around the aging infrastructure, that it hasn't been included in the financial plan. If you look at the financial plan, in total we have infrastructure budget of 15%, sorry, of 9%, inclusive in there is also programs to look into the zoo. So we don't budget for it separately. It's all inclusive in the budget. The fixed asset register, yes, we do have a fixed asset register in place. It was also reconciled properly, and we do take it into consideration. When we look at the maintenance, we try and have maintenance done on all the campuses throughout each financial year. We spend about 1% on maintenance, and that is across the entire organization. The other question that was asked was on employee costs, the number of employees. We have about 1,001 or so number of employees, but we can submit that properly in writing. And if you look at the spending on employees, we spend 418 million in total on all the employee costs, related costs. The last question relating to finance is around the issue on the qualification. In as much as we are not yet presenting that, what the committee may note is that we had challenges around NZG with 18-19 having been their first year with us, and that was the main cause of where the qualification arose from, and we are attending to all the issues to make sure that there isn't a repeat of the qualification.
Through the chair, let me cover a few areas. One, it is about the marketing activities as opposed to the marketing platforms. This relates to grouping marketing initiatives, not as an activity, but where you've got more activations
as a platform, and then you then have media print as an activation online, whatever, instead of activities. Once it becomes activity, sometimes it becomes too many, but you're not managing it holistically as a cluster. That is the feedback, yeah. The other question was about whether do we have a complete research on indigenous plants. This is an ongoing due to the nature of our business. As a we have a lot of research activities happening at SNB. As a result, because of new technology, what was identified as something else in 1980, today, because of other DNA analysis technology, therefore you may find that plant is not what it is. It was called, therefore the splitting and whatever, which means the research around the plants is a continuous activities. Then the next was the issue of about the Y45 baseline in 1718 as far as the maintenance projects and having the target of 45. These are projects that we put in order to ensure that we have got our infrastructure. There's a clear monitoring and managing maintenance of the infrastructure to avoid a possibility of infrastructure aging, losing attention. As a result, we fix this number that at least 45 maintenance projects must be completed. And then every year, and the one will understand cumulatively, eventually you'll find that our infrastructure always maintained in a good state for future use and also capitalization in terms of, yeah. Then the other one is the other question that was raised was around the Trando Botanical Garden. The garden is it is beyond schedule. The question from the chair was more about why didn't we achieve this. The issue here is not the establishment of the garden. It is about what certain things that need to be achieved under that high-level objective. Therefore, what was not achieved is we are behind schedule in terms of the improvements and upgrading of existing buildings we inherited from the Department of Public Works. That is what, yeah. Then the next one is the issue of visitor numbers, where we had 3%, we increased it to 5%, and the question was really more about the safety. How do we deal with the issue of safety? We do have a full-fledged safety program within SANBI, and then which complies with the safety standards NOSA accredited. Therefore, when we manage our visitors having events, we do it in line with the safety management programs. Then the role of traditional healers at the National Zoological Garden, especially the issue of certain things that are used by traditional healers, like elephant dung, dispersing of medicine, those kind of things, yeah. That we have not yet even ventured into that. That's our honest answer, because once we start dispersing those things, and then there are some elements of risk associated with dispersing dung, suddenly someone gets sick, and then it comes back to us in terms of which means it's a safety space that we need to look at, because these animals are in an enclosure as supposed to be in a sun park environment. Therefore, it's not a space that we have even explored, or yeah, we're thinking of looking at it. And then the next question was about the waste management. This was mainly around the NZG, National Zoological Garden, but I can reply to this in terms of the whole SANBI National Botanical Garden. So we do have a waste management plan in place. At NZG, we do have what we call a community-driven cooperative, where community from Mamelodi, right, instead of going to collect waste, it's not safe, we have given them that function to sort the waste, and then they sell that waste. Therefore, it is one of our community-driven project, like a corporate social investment in terms of giving out to the community. At some of our gardens, we have what we call policies like Kessenbosch and Watersulu, carry in, carry out, where we don't have dustbins at all. We encourage visitors to build a culture of what you take in, you must take it home with. And as a result, that's why our gardens like Kazanbosch and Watersolo are very clean, despite not having even one dustbin here. Thank you.
That concludes the business of the day. You want to conclude it properly?
No, Honorable Chair, we just wanted to answer one question, and it was around the woman and the percentage. So Kamal will just answer that quickly, and then I'll conclude.
Thank you, Chair. I won't be long. So, Chair, just to summarize, we've got two targets.
Can I request that she be long? She's saying she's not going to be long. Can I request that she becomes longer? Because she's not, they have not responded to the issue of the marketing strategy as it relates to the performance indicators. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Chair, also I was not covered when they answered in terms of reasons not budgeting for depreciation. Is it the normal or what is it? Thank you.
Then we can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, just on the issue of our equity targets on females, we've got two targets. One is on increased number of female staff appointed. So for last year, we actually exceeded our target. Very slightly, we exceeded it. We achieved 46.4%. And then for our new APP, we increased our target a little bit. Our target is now sitting at 47%. In terms of female staff in full employment. And going forward in the 5 years, we've upped that to 50%. Then our other target is around female in top management. And we also managed to slightly exceed that. We achieved 51.7% females in top management. And this is once again an indicator for us for our annual performance plan. So we're watching that very carefully on females. And Chair, just to say, there was also a question around what are we doing with our young female professionals in terms of developing their skills and their capacity. Our internships and our Khunza Benza initiatives, we're trying to focus a lot on rural youth and on females. So we're always tracking that we have the majority rural youth and females. We're trying to target those two groups. Thank you, Chair.
My apologies for skipping some questions. The question that was raised around depreciation, we don't normally budget for depreciation, given that it's more of an accounting recognition of the use of an asset over its useful life. So what we tend to focus on is the infrastructure. How much are we receiving from the grant, and what will we be spending it on? Even though when we do our reporting, we will comply with GRAP standards and make sure that what has been recognized as depreciation on a fixed asset register also comes through on our accounting books. The other question that was asked, Chairperson, is around the guidance on the ratio of employee costs against operating expenses from National Treasury. There isn't guidance from National Treasury. Even though we tend to look at it quite closely to make sure that we don't overcommit the organization with compensation. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. The question on marketing, I'm not quite sure what the question is, but I'm going to try and see if I've got it right and I can answer you. So initially we had a target of 102 marketing activities, and our board felt that it was just a shopping list of how many media articles, interviews, and asked us to rather come up with a much more strategic target. And that's why we moved away from marketing activities to marketing platforms. So we're not trying to count every single article that appears in a newspaper, but instead we're looking at print media, electronic media, what are we doing on social media, our exhibitions. So we try to be much more strategic in approach, and we've unpacked that in our technical indicator. So, Chair, I'm not sure if I've answered it, but also to say that our board is putting a lot of emphasis on the fact that we need to strengthen our marketing, especially if we're going to go into commercialization and bring in more income. So we're busy at the moment. We've developed a new draft marketing and commercialization strategy. So this is an area that our board is very, very interested in us strengthening. Thank you, Chair.
I know immediately you have some kind of a dialogue. The meeting might not end. So this is not the last time that we'll have Sanbi before us. And I suspect as well, despite the answers that you have given us, when you're sitting down alone there, you know that it was not adequate, this answer I gave. All the questions are intended to advise the entity to say how best can you improve on what you are doing. Otherwise, for now, that's why I was saying we have come to the end of this session. But there will be other sessions as we proceed. Otherwise, Chairperson, thank you very much for first the information and responding to the questions that you have asked. I indicated earlier one of the ways of doing oversight is to ask questions. We expect you to give us answers. If it happens that after a month or so, what you told us was not correct, then there will be another process. So I hope we don't get to those. I only hope what will benefit is the institution and the people of South Africa. Otherwise, thank you very much. I hope you will travel safely back home. Honorable members, I know I didn't ask for permission from you to almost wind up the meeting, but I'm looking at the time, and I can see that we managed to catch up with our time, and the meeting is closed. Thank you very much.